This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 15. Catriona's grip on Tom's hand tightened. She whispered through clenched teeth as he turned.
Stay quiet.
She continued to hold his hand even as the dog returned to spin in circles at her feet. The girl took a deep breath, straightened, and smiled at the man.
Oh, she's adorable.
She stooped to pick up a piece of drying driftwood that had once been part of a deck chair in Ireland and tumbled it in a lazy arc through the air. In doing so, she dropped Tom's hand, his palm suddenly cold and empty. The dog leapt, missed the catch, spun and arched its back like a swimming otter, and in one continuously fluid movement, disappeared in a brown and white blur of energy after the stick.
That's it, the man said. You'll no get rid of her now.
She's gorgeous, said Catriona,
her smile vaporizing the dregs of the stubborn storm. Closer to them now, Tom saw that the thing angled over the visitor's shoulder was actually a pickaxe. The man, Disney-esque with his red beard and ruddy face, shucked his sack from his shoulders and dropped it to the ground. The dog streaked in, dumped its trophy at the girl's feet, sat down and wiped the grass with its tail.
What's her name?
Catriona asked as she retrieved the chair leg. Tom folded his arms.
Sparky. A right wee bundle of fire she is.
At the mention of her name, Sparky's eyes swiveled to her master and back to the girl, the tempo of her metronomic tail rising from a slow waltz to the frenzied thump 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 of a Muppet's drumbeat. Catriona arched the chair leg into the sea with aboriginal skill. The man nodded his red beard to the cottage.
You folks staying here then?
The girl glanced at Tom and lied with a consummate ease he'd not seen before.
My mother's thinking of buying the cottage. We're on a sort of test drive.
In the same breath, she quickly added, digging for gold? And Tom could not help seeing the question as a ploy to control the conversation, to park it in the safe zone. He shifted his weight from his left leg to his right, uncrossed and crossed his arms again. The man chuckled and Tom bit his lower lip. First Catriona had tried to convince him that the cottage belonged to a friend of her uncle, and now she and her mother were on a mission to buy it. He'd suspected her of lying, but now he knew. Help stood in front of them and Catriona threw a stick and laughed and lied like a con woman. He was struck by the contrast between her inept little girl performance earlier and the smiling trickster he saw now.
If there's gold out there, I'd know about it, the beard chuckled.
Nah, hen, just checking the stones left as we a path. Tom sensed a movement by the window and almost saw Callum's twisted face as he ducked in pain to the side of the glass.
Just coming, Mum,
Catriona shouted and then threw the stick again and said, I hope the path's okay.
I never knew Ferguson was selling, the stranger said, rolling a cigarette.
Catriona put a hand to her mouth.
Oh, God, she cried. Don't say anything. I don't think I was supposed to tell.
Relax, lass. Me and the old codger don't exactly meet at the same parties. Anyhow, I'd rather see you folks on my way past here than him ony day.
With another tossed stick, the man hoisted his pack, angled his pickaxe again and left. Sparky skittering back and forward along the path, unwilling to leave her new best friend but worried by the fading smell of doggy treats. At last she followed her belly, carrying it in her excited yap and fading staccato bursts away from Cregan. Catriona waved and Tom stood with a pasted and uncomfortable smile on his face. The silence of their passing was filled by the gurgle of a nearby stream running happily to the sea, the gentle lap of the outgoing tide, and a squeaking door as Catriona opened it to check on Callum. Tom grasped her wrist.
What are you doing?
Instead of answering him, she spun on her heels.
Wait here,
she commanded and ran inside. Incredulous, Tom stared after her and then at the retreating rescuer as he dwindled slowly along the storm-tattered path. Resisting the urge to follow her, Tom found a spot by the stream and waited out his anger. This anger was directed as much at himself as the girl. He felt a fool, standing like a dumb attendant during the girl's performance, and a feeling chewed at his guts trying to get out. In the distance, the tiny figure stopped, and as Tom watched, swung his pickaxe like an animated icon for men at work. When Catriona joined him, Tom was ready to burst. Sitting on a rock, he stoned the stream with venomous thrusts, killing his anger as though it lived in the pebble-strewn bed. She sat beside him, and Tom let fly.
Is anything you see the truth? You don't understand. No, you don't understand. If that man is a mobile, we could have help here. Just like that.
He snapped the fingers of his left hand and looked at her coldly.
You'd better give me a good reason not to catch up with him.
Catriona's horrified gaze looked at the distant figure and back to Tom.
You can't tell anyone about us. Ever? Is that it? Even when I get out, I just forget that I ever saw you. How can I get help without saying anything? What's wrong, Catriona?
And then with a flash of satisfaction, Tom saw Catriona's composure crinkle as he said,
He's not your uncle, is he?
Catriona looked away again and stayed silent.
You can't even say the word without tripping on it, Catriona. This isn't your cottage or even the friends. Callum doesn't want me here because I might spoil whatever's going on.
That did it.
Whatever's going on? What's that supposed to mean?
Tom swung round to face her head on.
I'm not your enemy, but how can I avoid talking about you? It's ridiculous. He needs help even if he's too stubborn to accept it. If his leg's not set properly, he could be crippled for life.
Catriona's belligerent tone softened to a quiet whisper.
He won't listen. What if I just do it? Whatever happens, I'll be out of here soon. If I can't phone, then it's over the hill. You said the path led to the village. I could be there tonight. Could have a doctor or maybe the police with a boat. No! No police!
The girl's voice reflected the panic in her eyes. Tom reeled back with the ferociousness of her outburst.
What's going on, Catriona? What is he? A criminal?
Catriona's mouth twisted into a grimace that broke through the mask she'd worn since the boy had met her. It was moulded by bitter experience, a Pavlovian response to his accusation.
A criminal,
she spat.
Yes, that's exactly what they're saying.
But I've got another name for it. Tom took her hands in his and looked into her dark eyes. They sparkled as they filled with liquid misery. He resisted the urge to comfort her, reluctant to stop the flow. He squeezed her hand gently and urged her to go on.
According to half the country, he's a criminal, but I just call him Father.
DreamWorks.com.